Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, the podcast by which all other internet audio shows are judged favorably. I'm your host, Pete Pollock, and this week on the show, Oliver. And you have to say it like that, because if you don't say it with the exclamation point, it's just not Oliver enough. This film's got everything, folks, from music and dancing to hungry orphans. Was it any good? Well, that's for me to know and me to tell you. This is, it's Charles Dickens, if you didn't know that. Oliver Twist is the original book. I've never read the original book. I've seen the stage play, and now I've seen the film. I have a feeling, just a feeling, that both the stage play and the film edited the book a bit. Just going to go out on a limb on that one. Of course, we're not reviewing the book, so it's, you know, it's okay, I guess, that I haven't read it. But it's on my list, for sure. I know it's a classic. It's definitely on the list. Anyway, this is the story of Oliver Twist. He's an orphan in a workhouse, as the film opens, and he's leading a horrible life, as many people in Dickens' stories tend to do. Of one, you know, horrible life of one kind or another. And he's living in a workhouse. They march around, they eat gruel, and they have nothing to look forward to, and, you know, except maybe, you know, growing old in the workhouse, all these kids. And so it's pretty rough, and Oliver gets himself into trouble, and the workhouse tries to sell him off, because apparently that's easier than throwing him down the stairs, which is what they threatened to do originally. They try and sell him off. He kind of gets taken on a trial basis by an undertaker, and that doesn't really work out. And he escapes, and he heads off to London to make his fortune. Now, a 10-year-old kid, or however old he's supposed to be, probably not going to make his fortune too quickly in London in the mid-1800s. But this is what he's setting out to do. And of course, when he gets there, he falls in with the wrong crowd. And when I say the wrong crowd, I mean a bunch of lovable hooligans who steal for fun and profit, and led by an old guy named Fagin. And of course, there's lots of singing and dancing. And somehow, I'm not sure if, you know, as I'm watching this, I wonder what Dickens would have thought of that. But, you know, he's not here, so we can do anything we want, right? The lovable hooligans have a leader in Fagin, but they also have another leader, a more dangerous guy who is really a businessman. Well, he's a crook, but he makes a lot of deals with Fagin. Fagin is kind of his fence for stolen goods. And Fagin is the bad guy, but he's not really the bad, bad guy. The bad, bad guy is Bill Sykes, this other dude. And when I say that he's a bad guy, I mean that he is one of the most hateful scumbags you are ever likely to see in anything, really. I mean, there's nothing likable about this guy. And it's funny for me to watch, because when I saw the stage play, I had a friend who was in this, and he played that role. And the role is so hateful that, you know, when people came out to take their bows, everybody cheers. He comes out and everybody booed. And he did a great job in the performance. But, I mean, this Bill Sykes guy is just one of the most heinous dudes you're ever gonna come across. I mean, he's a killer, and he's threatening people, and he's absolutely a single-minded, selfish scumbag SOB. And you know, the one of the things that Act Two opens with, I'll get to the end of Act One in a second, but one of the things, because since I'm on the subject, opens with his girlfriend who he lives with. In sin, apparently, he's basically threatening to kill her for something that she wants to do. And then she sings a love song to him. So, hey, nice abusive relationship. This is textbook, you know, get some help, lady. Not cool. Hanging out with this dude, not cool. That's all I'm going to say. So Oliver, after his series of merry adventures and run-ins with Bill Sykes, which are worse in the second half of the movie than in the first half, of course, but he ends up being taken in by a guy who originally accused him of stealing his wallet, and he didn't actually steal his wallet. So the guy takes him in and kind of becomes a little bit of a father figure to him. The crooks want Oliver back because they think he's going to rat them out, which, of course, he has no plans on doing. But, you know, and then you get into a rather shocking coincidence with the guy who took him in and Oliver's past. We'll just leave that hang in the air, and you can wonder what that means until you see this movie, if in fact you bother to see this movie. And if you don't, read the book, because I'm going to guess that the book is probably pretty good. Like I say, it's on my list, it should be on your list. So, I don't want to get into the end of the movie, but it's one of these long musicals, and we all know that I love dearly long musicals. So, knowing that I'm not the biggest fan of this format, I try and be overly fair to movies, because I want to give you a good review, I want to give you a proper review, and I don't want my bias to just carry in, although, let's face it, all these movie reviews are my bias. But I'm trying to, you know, kind of come at it from the middle, because I'm not Mr. Musical. And I have to say that I should have some street cred for liking West Side Story, okay? I can like musicals, and there have been others out there. I've mentioned them before. This one didn't really do it for me. The basic plot is interesting, and I think that if you have the depth of the book surrounding it, it's probably awesome. But some of the music is catchy, which is important in a musical. But for me, there's a real weird juxtaposition where you've got this horrible world that Oliver is placed in, and these people just dancing around and singing and having the grand time of their lives and acting loony, and then, you know, once they stop singing and dancing, they go back into this horrible world. And that's a little bit tough for me personally to get past. So, although I will say one thing, when the London Bobbies are dancing around, they look a lot like John Cleese in the Monty Python Ministry of Silly Walks sketch. So that was kind of entertaining. And they're probably right around the same time, actually. So it'd be interesting to see who got the idea first. But they look pretty loony and messed up and disturbed, really, when they're dancing around in unison with their legs kicking out in all weird directions. Anyway, overall, I gotta give this one, it's a skip it. To be honest with you, it's, you know, I have the buy it, rent it, skip it. And if you really like musicals and you really want to see Oliver Twist done as a musical, you're probably going to, you know, just ignore my review and go out and get it. So go out and get it and be done with it. But for my money, I would rather I'd rather see a drama based on this story or read the book. That's where I'm coming from on that. So take that to the bank and deposit it. Next week on the show, Midnight Cowboy. Now this is a kind of a creepy, weird movie, it looks like. It's, as far as I know, it's the only X-rated movie ever to win the Best Picture. And likely to remain that way, I'm guessing. But it looks pretty weird and I don't know, I'm intrigued. Let's just say that. Midnight Cowboy next week. Until then, I remain Pete Pollock. This is the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast. It is a production of the Big Noisy Bug Media Empire. You can't get much bigger than that. And until then, have a good week, everybody. See you soon.